When Jesus saved you and brought you into the kingdom of God, you're now standing before the Father, a completely perfect, perfect individual without a sin or nothing, nothing. You're perfect. If we could only stay there. We need to try our best to stay there, because if we could stay there, then there would never be any sickness or disease, because if we could stay holy and blameless as we stand before Him without a single fault, we could do that forever. We would have no sickness, no disease, nothing like that in the church. We would be that perfect instrument. Verse 23 and 24. But you must continue to believe this truth. Now see, here's where He's telling us. You must continue to believe this truth and stand in it firmly. What does it mean to stand in this truth that you're blameless and clear, clean and pure and holy before God? To stand in that. In other words, you and I are to stand. When somebody asks us, do you believe you still sin? What should we say? No, I am not a sinner anymore. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of the King. Well, you out drinking with the boys? Absolutely not. I used to do that stupid stuff, some men will say, but that old boy died. You know, when he died, I mean, I don't do that no more. Have you ever stole anything? Oh, yeah, I used to steal some things. But that old boy died. You mean you don't steal nothing no more? Absolutely not. I ain't going to steal nothing. You know, do you use cuss words? I used to, but I don't do that no more. That old boy died. I left him dead. You know, Jesus killed him. And so he's back yonder somewhere. But the new man's now walking here, so I don't commit adultery. You know, I don't run around with my wife. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't cheat. I don't drink. I don't cuss. I don't smoke. I don't do none of them things. I want this body to be blameless and holy before the King. And when we do that, life is good. It says, so he says, don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed by God to proclaim it. Well, technically speaking, you and me as His children, it has been ordained by Him that we're to go and proclaim it. Is that what He said? As children of God, we're to go forth and tell people about Jesus. Was that His command? Yeah. He did that for all of us. I don't care who you are. You're a child of God. You're to be out talking to people about Jesus. Now, some He may give different gifts to do different things, but technically all of us are to be ambassadors that are out there talking about our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am completing what remains of Christ's suffering for His body, the church. I'm not sure I quite like that. Do you like suffering? It's hard to say I'm glad when I suffer for Jesus, isn't it? There's two things I really hate. One of them is pain. And you know what the other one is? More pain. I don't like pain. I really don't like suffering. Do you, Tommy? You're just like me, huh? You don't like pain either, huh? No, I don't like pain. But Paul said, I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body. Because he's finishing this whole thing. So when we suffer, what should we be telling the Lord? Lord, thank you that I'm suffering for you. That's not easy, is it? I mean, sometimes the only suffering we have is when somebody makes fun of us. Oh, you religious fanatic, you stupid Christian. You mean you're a Christian? Oh, I'm so sorry for you, you little woman. I'm so sorry you're a stupid Christian. We ever have people talk to us like that? Sure. Hey, it don't hurt me. I don't care. You know, they can talk all they want to. And I'd rather, a whole lot rather they talk to me than beat up on me. You know, now if they start beating up on me, I don't like that either, but if that's what it takes, I don't want to go there if I can keep from it. In fact, I was also told in this church I was preaching in down there in Florida that there was a preacher that was making a statement, you know, about some of the things we might have to suffer for Jesus. He was doing one of these things, even die for the Lord. Said there was one man in the church jumped up and said, I'm ready to die for Jesus. He wants to kill me today. I'm ready to die today. So the next morning, he was almost killed in a car wreck. The next morning. Hey, I ain't going to jump up and start saying those kind of things. You know, I don't want to die in a car wreck the next morning. Do you? No, I mean, oh, hey, I mean, I'm definitely not going to proclaim. I'm ready right now. If he wants to take me out today, Lord, I'm ready for you to kill me today. And they said that man was so adamant about what he said in church that evening that the next morning on the way to work, he was nearly killed in a car wreck. I thought, wow, I'm going to be careful what I say. I want to serve Jesus, but I ain't ready to be killed in a car wreck. You know, so, wow, for I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am completing what remains of Christ's suffering for his body, the church. Wow, okay, verse 25 and 26. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his message in all its fullness to the Gentiles. You know, I think there's something, one of these days, we need to have a English class on what the word all means. You know, this all through the scripture, God says, I've given you all power over the devil. I've given you all the spiritual gifts. Everything the Father gave me, I give you all of this. And yet we go around begging and pleading for this stuff. And according to the Word of God, it already belongs to us. I guess we don't understand what the word all means, do we? I mean, just like here. He says, this message was kept. Oh, and God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his message in all its fullness to the Gentiles. In all of its fullness. The fullness. If I understand this right, first thing he did was save us. Then he delivered us. Then he healed us. Then he made us whole. And he gave us all the gifts to go out with the Holy Spirit to do anything that he calls us to do. And the church I was involved with so many years, if you said, well, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit last week, they said, they put you out. You ever heard of a church like that? I'm so amazed. And you know, when you go out and start healing the sick in the name of Jesus and start praying for people, you become a radical. I thought how strange it was. I had been a member of the Baptist church over here in Justin, I guess at least 10 years, maybe 15 years. I've been a deacon and a Sunday school teacher all that time. And I'd had my own little Sunday school class in there that I taught the Word of God to. I didn't use the Southern Baptist information because Jesus told me to stop using it. So I was just using just the Bible to teach a Sunday school class in a Baptist church. And God had done all kinds of miracles and healings and all kinds of things. And when I decided to leave that church, I told my Sunday school class and my associate teacher, I said, I'm going to tell you, and if you want to, you can tell everybody else, that I will not be back after next Sunday. Next Sunday will be my last day. I'm going to go into my own ministry full time, and so I will not be back. Now, I had been a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and everything that year for 15 years, and not one single person, including the pastor, ever even said a word about me leaving. Not one word. I'd been a faithful servant in that church for at least 15 years, and nobody even said nothing about me leaving. I thought, wow, they want to get rid of me. You know, I was a thorn in their side, I guess, Eldon. That's okay. But anyway, I will have to say the other day, it's been a year or so ago, I walked into the post office in Justin, and I met one of the deacons. I said, praise God, brother. Reached over, shook his hand, and he took my hand and held on to it. I said, how's things going? He said, Thurman, this last week we had a deacon's meeting, and you were one of the main topics. I said, well, I hadn't been there in years. I said, what do you mean? He said, yeah, you were the main topic. He said, we talked about you. And he said, I told the guys. I said, you know, Thurman used to tell us all these things. And he tried to do it lovingly, but said he tried to tell us all this was available to us. And said, we would never believe him. And he said, now then, he left our church. He started his own ministry. And God is using him mightily, sending him all over the world, doing great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. And to think, he said, we had him right here in this church. We could have learned thousands of things from him, but we wasn't willing to listen. He said, all I got to say for you, Thurman, you paid the price. You studied God's word. You spent your nights in prayer, and we didn't. We spent ours down doing something else. I said, well, all I can say is praise God I paid the price. I'm certainly glad I did. You know, so it sure has got a lot of people set free, healed, and delivered. And I love it, praise the Lord. Then he says, this message, God has given me the responsibility to do this. Then he said, this message was kept secret for centuries. Now, what? The message was kept secret? In other words, God must not have wanted somebody to know this. It says the message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to his own holy people. It's not been revealed to the whole world, but only to his own holy people. And verse 27, for it has pleased God to tell his people that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. For this is a secret. Christ lives in you. And this is your assurance that you will share in his glory. Wow. When I got a revelation of what it meant that the King was alive in me. How many times that I used to pray, oh Lord, don't forsake me or leave me. I can't get rid of him, can I, Scott? He's in there. Do I want to get rid of him? No. I want him in there. But this is the mystery, the secret that had been hidden for generations and generations, for thousands of years, that when Christ came, he was now going to be living inside the believers. So that means we're really his body on this earth. We are his ambassadors, and since we are his body, that's why he demands that we walk holy and blameless in his sight. Holy and blameless. Because, I mean, would you want, this arm over here on this side? Let's say this arm over here. Would you want this one to be cut off and all jagged and missing over here? Oh, you'd want it to be natural and holy and perfect, right? Oh, yeah, okay. I just thought maybe I'd find out if you were like me or you're like somebody else. Some of us must want to be the missing arm, right? Because we go out and sin. You know, but do you want your body to be perfect? It's just like a young man I was praying for this last week. When he came up, I looked and I noticed this hand was in really bad shape. I said, what happened? He said, I got off into all kinds of sin. I was working for a company, had been working for him for years. He said, I got my hand in a piece of equipment. And said, it almost tore it completely off. I mean, fingers were missing, and there was all kinds of, it looked really terrible.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, For This Is the Secret, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.